All right, let's go. Let's take it from ISA Maya Vidisa, right? Okay. Well, what's going on? Where's going on? Let's look at Maya Vidisa. Okay. So the Gemara, what was the Gemara's last possibility? Go ahead, someone say.
So, Almana LeKohen Gadol.
Right.
So they wanted to say that since Almana LeKohen Gadol is Asura, that's open in the Pasuk, so you can deduce from that an Almana to a Kohen Hedyot or to Yisrael is Mutter.
Right.
And therefore
you'll have a raya
that she's konas atzma b'misa sabal.
Correct. So what is the Gemara respond?
The Gemara says, no, you could say that a Kohen Gadol is, for a Kohen Gadol it's a specific lav. But for everyone else, it's still an Isser Aseh.
Right. Maybe for Kohen Gadol it's a lav and everybody else it's an Isser Aseh. And how, right, so how do we formulate the Isser Aseh?
So because the Pasuk says, V'yatza v'hayisal yish acher. So that's talking about Gerish in the Pasuk. So it's mashma that v'yatza v'hayisal yish acher, that's by Gerishin. But by Misa Sabal, so by any other case, like Misa Sabal, for example, then she's not allowed to go to another man.
Right. Right. So what's the, well, you remember the definition?
Yeah, you said Gerushin does two things. You said Gerushin removes the Chal Shem Isha.
Right.
Eishas Ish. I'm sorry, and it also makes her muteras lo'olam.
Right.
So what Misa Sabal, what's happening in Misa Sabal, is that that's just removing the Chal Shem Isha Sish. But there's no muteras lo'olam. She's still going to be Asur lo'olam.
Right, right, right.
So that's the Isra Aseh. Now you're going to be involved in a Kedushin, so the Kedushin will be Toface, because she's no longer an Eishas Ish. But there's still an Isra Aseh, because you're doing the new Kedushin without making her Muteras L'chol Olam.
Right, right. Exactly. So therefore, that's why we said that even though now you see that Misa removes the shame Eishas Ish, but it's still not a proof for the Gemara, because the Gemara is looking for Konas Atzma. The original question of the Gemara is, how do you know for Konas Atzma? So here it wouldn't be for Konas Atzma. He just removes the Eishas Ish, but it doesn't really. She's not now designated as a Pnuya, as a Muteras Leolam. Therefore, it's still not Konas Atzma. Right? So that's where the Gemara is right now. Correct?
Yep.
All right, good. So now the Gemara, so that's where the Gemara is, right? That's the Dilma Kohen Gadol B'Lav L'Chol Yom Basay. So now the Gemara says, one second, Hayasei Maya Vidisei. Ida Hanya Misa Bal Tishtri L'Gamrei. Ida Lo Ahanya Misa Bal Tukma V'Milsa Kamaisa. All right. What's the Gemara's kasha? What is this asay? What is it doing? Right? If you're going to tell me Misa Baal functions, that it works, so she should be Muteras Lagamre. And if it doesn't, so let's establish it on the original way. Okay? So, I mean, what's the gasha? So take a look at Rashi. Haya say, Maya Vita say, Shiyehehu omi defaneha v'issa la v'kare shaba pako. What is this asay doing? That it says that he is still standing in her way, as if it were, and the Yisra Lav, the Eishas Ish, the Karei Shabbat, Pago. That's what the Gasha.
It seems that the question is based on a premise that the woman being Muteras Lo'olam or not Muteras Lo'olam is not an independent idea, but that would be a natural outgrowth of her shame Eishas Ish. So if she, so then the Gemara is saying, Mimanashach, I mean, does she have a relationship or not? But it's based on the premise that this idea, Muteras Lo'olam, is not going to exist as an independent Isser. It can only exist as an extension of the shame Eishas Ish.
So my question is like this. You're saying you're right. But I just want to know one thing. But the Gemara knew that at one point, no? Because the Gemara says, Elamid Amarachman Almana Koin Gadal Asura, Halakoin Hejit Sharia. So isn't that what the Gemara holds there? Because then when the Gemara says, Vadilbala Koin Gadal Allah, L'choli Alam Basay, so then it's bringing in the thing that we just said. Namely, it's two things. So prior to the Gemara saying Vidilma, what did the Gemara hold? Elam Adama Rachman Almana Lekoin Gadalat Surah Halakoin Hejit Sharia. Right? So I don't understand. So now, what's the Gemara saying differently? Hayav say, Maya Vita say. You know what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Okay. But I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you're right. Could it be that previously in the Gemara, at the step of the Kohen Gadol, what it's saying is that it's showing Sharia, which means that at that stage, there's no idea of a separate Isser of not being Muteras L'chol Adam. All there is there's a shame Eishas Ish, and part of the shame Eishas Ish is that, like an accident of that, is that she's going to be Usser L'chol Adam. But it's not like a separate, like Chalos Isser, of, there's not like two separate ideas. It's really just an accidental outgrowth of the fact that she's a shame Eishas Ish. But then what the Gemara shows you is that really there are two separate ideas here. There's the shame Eishas Ish, and then there's a separate Chalos Isser of Asr l'chol olam. And then the Gemara says, yeah, but isn't that separate chalos iser just an extension of the shame eishas ish?
That's the first thing.
No, because the first way is to say it's not a separate chalos iser. By the first step of the Gemara is to say, practically it's going to come out the same. But it's not, conceptually, it's not a separate iser that's chal. Of Asr L'chol Olam. It's just an accident of the Shem Eishas Ish. You see what I'm saying?
Explain it to me again. Go ahead.
Okay. So at the first step of the Gemara, so what it's saying, what it's showing from Amana L'Kohen Gadol, is that you see from everyone else that Misa Sabal, that she's Konas Atzma from Misa Sabal. At that stage of the Gemara, there is no idea, although the only idea that the Gemara has of Kiddushin is that there's a Shem Esh Ish. There's no idea of like this idea of, the only idea, being Asur L'chol Olam is not a separate Isser that it that exists in conjunction with the Shem Esh Ish. Rather, it's an accidental byproduct of the Chal Shem Esh Ish. It's not that there's a separate, it's not that the Torah has a separate Din Isser of Asur L'chol Olam. It's just an accident of the Shem Esh Ish. Whereas then the Gemara introduces that, no, there's actually a positive idea of an Isser L'chol Olam.
How do you know which one is which?
I mean, it seems totally good. One is before you had the concept of the assay at all. The second question is just, once you have the assay, will it be removed simultaneously with the Isser Esh Ish, or can they be removed separately? Whereas the question at the stage of Alman Lechon Gadol assumes there's no assay whatsoever. Whereas in the Maskana, it just asks, how can you have one without the other? Meaning either both should be gone or they both should remain. Just saying, even if you say there's an assay until there's an Isser assay in addition to the Isser Vav, Isser Kares, then shouldn't they just be simultaneous? Meaning they should either both exist or both non-exist. But it's still accepting the fact that the assay exists.
Meaning the assay will be dependent. Even though there is the assay, it'll still be dependent.
They'll both be dependent on the same thing.
Well, it will be dependent on the other.
We're actually facing the same thing.
Can you have a different possibility?
Sure.
I mean, it's not a complete, you know, full understanding of it, but just, I thought what the Gemara was trying to do was going on that, on the limud that it made from gerushin to the exclusion of other methods, that logically it doesn't, that the move it's making now is to say that logically, for whatever reason, it doesn't make sense to say that means that should be limited specifically to gerushin. In other words, the same way that the is that what I'm saying?
No.
Rabbi Bald, I think I can say a little bit more clearly what I was trying to say before.
Hey Aaron, have you given up?
No, whatever. I guess nobody's listening.
Try again.
Could it be that in the first? Aaron, are you you know?
Please go ahead.
Just another, say more clearly. In the first step of the Gemara by the Almana, that step maintains that there's only one thing that occurs in Kiddushin, and that is there's a relationship between the Isha and the Baal. Okay, that's the Shem Esh Ish. Okay, and the Isser L'chulei Alma is a result of that relationship. Later, the next step of the Gemara, it's saying that in Kiddushin there are really two relationships. There's a relationship of Isha to Baal, but there's also a relationship, and that's a relationship of Heter. But there's a relationship of Isha L'Kulei Alma. That's a separate relationship of Isser. The first, before that step, it's to say there's really only one relationship, which results, because of that relationship, in Isser between Isha and Kulei Alma. Then the Gemara is saying, no, it's an independent relationship of Isha and Baal, and then Isha L'Kulei Alma.
Wow.
Isn't it hard to say that they're separate? Because I mean, like the relationship of that she's mutter to, she's mutteris to the Baal, right? Is only meaningful because she's also to everybody else.
Right. Well, that's what he's saying. The question of the Gemara is the second question.
But it sounds impossible to say.
No good happen.
Say what?
What?
It's a no good happen.
Yeah. It sounds impossible.
All right. Let me ask you guys a question. Let's just do one more step in the Gemara. Which I assume you've done already. But we'll just do it in sheer. The Gemara says Gemara has an interesting comeback. Gemara says, Allah Malov. Okay? Allah Malov afiksa mimisa. Who kimtala say? 1 second. Why shouldn't you say she goes out from Misa and establish it purely on the assay? Right? So as Gemara comes back, it says, no, let's learn the way we just learned, that there really is a separate Isra assay that exists apart from the Shem Eishas Ish. Correct?
Sounds just like we said in the beginning.
Right. Right? And then the Gemara said, now why should we say this? And now this is a very strange piece here. Midi dahava psulei hamukdashin. Just like psulei hamukdashin. Demikara isbahu me'ila v'asiri begiza v'avoda. That initially, when you first, let's say, magdish, let's keep it, I don't know. Let's do an ol, I guess, maybe. Okay? Almost any carbon. Okay, it just depends when the mila will be. But anyhow, so you have a carbonola. So you're going to have, it's going to have an Isser Me'ila, and plus it's going to be Usser in Giza Vavoda. All right? Now, Parkinho. Let's assume you go ahead and you do Pigeon to it. Me'ila Lespo. The Giza Vavoda, Siri. There you go. Now, of course, this Gemara is very strange because the Issa Me'ila and the Issa Giza Vavoda are not the same. So what's the Gemara talking about? There's no analogy here. Right.
What do you mean they're not the same? You mean that the Isurim don't emanate from the fact that this is hektish? What do you mean they're not the same?
They're different Isurim.
Oh, like separate psukim in the Torah, they're just...
Meaning as opposed to Eishes Ish, which he's saying, is one Issa? It seems like Eishes Ish is also two Issumim. One is the Issa Lasei, which is one type of Issa, and then there's a separate one, which is the Issa Kavas. Meaning it is saying, can you divide into two Issumim?
What's the Issa Lasei? What are you not allowed to do?
The mice issue will be the same mice.
Okay, so then here are two different mice.
It doesn't matter if it's the same mice.
So that's
the
why
is
it's
two
different.
Manafkamina, if it's two different actions, if the issue is two separate issue. Because halakhically, it's two separate issue.
It's a big nafkamina.
But they're two different. Can you just explain again why they're not analogous?
Why they're not analogous?
Yeah.
Because what's your argument? You left off telling me that, well, I don't care. Well, we haven't said as far yet. I mean, you guys have said different possibilities. And what was your last possibility? What's the formulation? The what? Go ahead, Cisco. What was your last formulation?
For which step?
Which step?
Previous.
ISA Maya Vidisay.
Oh, which means that the step is that even though you've shown me that there are two separate things here, there's the Shem Eishes Ish, and then there's the idea of Muteres La'olam, but the whole question of Muteres La'olam is only going to be an extension of whether or not she's a Shem Eishes Ish. It's going to be Tului on that.
Okay, very good. So now you'll say to me, no, don't say that anymore. Why? Because I'll show you a case where you have two separate lavin, one me'ila and one giza and avoda, and one survives and the other doesn't. So I'll say yashkayach. Okay, so it's where was that proof? How does that possibly affect what you just said is the svara by kedusha, and gerusha?
You want me to tell you?
I mean, I'm sure you could tell me, but I'm just saying that's the question.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Give me 1 second here. Maya Vidasek. Tiny Hussam, the Rabbi Yakra, the Isser Giza. Right? Aval Hachdala Rabbi Yakra, Amalach, given the Asin and Misa Aval, Vaafkisa, Milav, Umisa, Sharia Lagamre.
Well, that doesn't sound like the same question that you were asking, though. I mean, he's also saying they're not similar, but he's saying they're not similar because normally, because you have a specific pasuk to include Aser Giza.
That's true. That is true. He does say that.
You know, even though normally you would think that they go out the window together. That all these are, if you normally you would think without a pasuk, you would normally think that if Me'ilah's gone, then Giza's gone with it. Except that you have a pasuk to include Giza, even when Me'ilah doesn't exist.
Right, but the basic question nevertheless, so what I'm saying is how could you learn out from that case? How could that be a source to tell you how to formulate over here? I mean, over here you're telling me, by here you're telling me that really the whole concept of the of muteres la'olam is really contingent on whether or not she's related to him. Right, the whole kiyum of the thing is really that she's miuchedus lo, and that creates the isser on the world. And if that's gone, so then of course she's memelin muteris to the world, right? So now, what are you going to show me? You're going to show me a case where you have another system, where you have two separate lavin. Two completely different lavin, Me'ila versus Giza Vavoda, and you'll show me that one survives intact, and therefore what? Yeah. I didn't learn that there's another formulation here. See, the way we understood it is give me 1 second. Let me just hold on. The Gemara maintained, like we said, that the very Kenyan Isser, it's very objective, is the woman is Asura to the world, and Muteris Labal. Okay? In other words, the whole Kinyan Isser, its objective is Ishus. Namely, that she is Mucheddes to this person, and of course, by definition, she's a Surah to the world. So in came the Gemara, and the Gemara said, not so fast. Maybe it's two different things. Right? There's an Isser, there's a love of Eishes Ish, and then the halacha is that a get removes the Eishes Ish, but it's not, does not render her, doesn't give her a shame of a pnuya. She's still asura to the world. Maybe they exist separately. They could be split off in the way the mechanism of Gerishin operates. You don't notice it because both things are happening, but in fact, there are two things that are being accomplished. So the Gemara says, no. Hayasei mayavidisei, not that the Gemara is saying, I've got another formulation for you. We've run out of formulations. Okay? Not that you have to say there's a new formulation. But rather what the Gemara is saying is that they're not two separate ideas. But of course, the very idea, like we said, the shame pnuya is a result, okay, of the shame Eishes Ish, right? And the Gemara is saying, and this is logical, because why should you assume a complex formulation when you can have a simple formulation? That's the Gemara's argument. In other words, the Gemara's argument here is not for a new formulation of Eishes Ish. It's given you two possibilities. What the Gemara is saying is that it's purely a logical question. Namely, why should you say a more complicated, why should you posit a more complicated formulation when in fact the simpler formulation is in front of you? That's the Gemara's Akasha of Hayasei Mayavidisei. It's an argument like, it's an Occam's razor argument. That's the argument the Gemara is giving. It's a different kind of an argument. It's not proposing a new svara. What the Gemara is saying is, hold on. Now, if you have two possibilities in front of you, your original formulation or this new one, that there's an Isser, there's a Lav and an Isser Aseh, so the Gemara will say, one second, Hayasei Mayavidisei. What do you need it for? From a formulation standpoint, it's excess baggage. There's no reason to have such a complex formulation. Stick to your original formulation. That's the Gemara's argument. And now what the Gemara's response is, you see, the Gemara's response is that, of course, you can never really bring a raya from Giza Vavoda to the formulation in Kedushin. It's crazy. It's a completely different kind of a system. And over there, you're dealing with two different lavin. So, you know, they could have their own, you know, their own characteristics, its own halachos. And you can't, how can you derive from Psulam of Dushan to Ishus? It makes no sense from a purely conceptual standpoint. But what the Gemara is saying is like this. The Gemara is saying is that by Kodshim, the assumption is, the simple assumption is, that even though they're two different lavin, but of course they emanate from the fact that this object has Kedushas Hekdesh. Right? It has an underlying, there's an underlying Kedushas Korban that's causing, that's creating, that engenders the Isser Me'ilah as well as the Isurim of Giza Vavoda. You see? So, what the Gemara is saying is that since that's true, and you see that you really should have expected, if you are following the, you know, the theory of parsimony of theories, meaning, you know, Occam's razor, so then you would have expected that when you do pidyon, and now this object no longer has kedushas korban, you would have imagined that both isurim should have ceased, because they're coming from a underlying common cause, even though, of course, the two separate isurim. But what you see is they don't both cease. That in one case, the Torah has a separate gzeres hakasav, that the iser giza vavoda survives the kedushas carbon of the chayfetz. So what the Gemara is saying is that you have no right to make a determination about what the status, what the state of the formulation of kedushin based on what you think would be a simpler and smoother svara. Because you see, I'll show you another place in the Torah where you would have followed the same kind of logical criteria, and your conclusion would have been, if I would have asked anybody, based on if they're following that kind of a logical approach, I'd say, okay, here's how Kachim works. Now I do Pidyon. Is there Me'ilah? No. What would you say about Giza Vavoda? So you tell me, no, there's no Issa Giza Vavoda. Aha, you see, you're wrong. There still is an Issa Giza Vavoda. So you see, you cannot use that criteria in making a determination about which formulation to go with. That's what the Gemara is saying. Alam alo. I'll show you another place in the Torah, a similar kind of format, and it ends up to be a more complicated theoretical construction than you would have expected. So therefore, you can't ask Akasha, like Hayasei, Mayavidasei. That's the way it is. Maybe that's the way the Torah formulated it. That's it.
Why doesn't the Gemara say Higuf Akasha? I mean,
what's Higuf Akasha?
I mean,
no, you can't say Higuf Akasha. You can't. Because you're dealing with Chachmas Hashem. You can't do that. Let me put it this way. Let me answer that better. Well, one second. I want to answer that better.
If there hadn't been another case, you would have said...
You would have stuck to your argument. I hear you. One second. You see?
I mean, can't you only use Occam's razor when there aren't facts on the ground?
One second.
And now the Ritva's question comes into play.
One second. That's a Xeris Akasu.
Well, what fact on the ground points you to the time you should say there's an essay? Mm-hmm.
Right, over there. Xeris Akasu tells you it's
more complicated. Why should you bring it over
here? We don't have
it. Why would you say it over here?
So that you could say they wouldn't learn that. That's a Xeris Akasu.
No, they hold. I would say they hold the logical move. The only thing is you can't use it over there because it's Xeris Akasu. So then why over here can you use the logical?
Does that make it illogical?
It's not illogical.
We're never saying it's illogical. We're just saying it's not the simplest svar. So now
we'd have to be told in order to assume.
Right, and we are told by Xeris Akasu. That's only the simple svar. Over here, there's no Xeris Akasu
until you force.
Right. So you're up to where the Ritva is when he asked the question, or you're past that, or you've answered the Ritva's question.
Yeah, I've answered the Ritva's question. I'm saying that Rashi won't be bothered by the Ritva. I'm saying Rashi would be bothered by the Ritva's Kashi. He has a whole different approach. See, the Ritva... Let me come back to Ritva. I just want to make a point here. There's something I want to say here. One second. someone's arguing, unless somebody is arguing with me. I mean, there's no doubt that the case of Giza Vavoda is not what you would logically expect.
Right?
Yep.
Yep.
One second. I'm trying to formulate. See, what's the status of what he calls of that logical principle? Like, what is that? I know what I'm trying to. I really have to. Maybe someone can help me. This idea that, I mean, you know, Occam's razor, you know, the theory of, the parsimony principle. Okay? Okay, of not multiplying unnecessary entities. Tool that man uses.
There was a beep when you said that. Can you repeat that?
Tool.
What? That was... I gave away the secret once. I can't do it.
He said any tool that man uses.
You know, sometimes, you know, the Nistama Ashkina, and I can't give away the Achras Hayama.
Yep.
That's okay, we'll get it from Rabbi Wolf.
No, the Rambam in Chagiga says you can't withhold the Yisori Hadas.
No, that'll pay.
One second. That the mind uses.
Are you asking when is that relevant and when is it not?
Let me put it this way. In other words, is it saying that you should always expect to find the simplest possible thing?
Or?
If it's saying that, then always expect it, except if it's clear that it's the other way. So then you couldn't learn from Surah Muqtasha if you said it that way.
Right.
Does the Gemara maintain that in the case of Psulei Mukdashim, so it doesn't maintain that it's just Stam, not the simplest way, right? I mean, there must be some underlying
concept,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but
why did God say it?
I know, but of course. I mean, God didn't just do something for naught. Yeah. But it's not to throw you off all of a sudden. But the point is that whatever that is, the point of the matter is that from the perspective of the mind, that would also be true of Kedushin and Gittin. Right? In other words, the Gemara is saying, you have no right to give that kind of an argument that it would seem to you that the simple formulation would be that the... Isser veheter to the world is dependent on Ashes Ish, say, oh, that's much smoother than saying it's two separate things. Yeah, there must also be a reason why. That's the point.
Wouldn't you have to prove it, though?
What?
Wouldn't you have to prove that such an Asse exists? Not just premise, maybe there is an Asse?
What do you mean, there is? What do you mean? It does prove. What if Asse have a Yatsav Isa?
So then how could you have the question in the first place? Meaning, how could you ask simplicity if it's a mefurish tussock, but yet it's a haisa?
No, because I could show you another way to learn it. Meaning, that's the point.
It seems from Sun Mutashin you could say that until you have, all you could say is until you have, you go by simplicity until you have Pesukim the other way. But, and in Kachim, you have Pesukim the other way.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that. No, no. That's not, I'm not
you
saying that.
You think simplicity doesn't work at all?
Why can't you just simply say that when it's inappropriate to use it, when you haven't exhausted the possibilities of the logical, of the conceptual underpinnings? In other words, if the argument you're trying to advance is its underlying conceptual basis is no different, in other words, it doesn't add anything, so then you're just complicating matters. But the
what did that have to do with the better?
What do you mean? So say that.
With the Havana Sara?
Well, I don't know. But it must. The Gemara is not saying you could sometimes just complicate it for the sake of it.
No, of course not.
There is a. So won't that be the determination? If there is a. In other words, if you can't choose simplicity over complexity, when in doing so you're accepting an underlying basis that's not the only possibility.
So let me answer that. What Yaakov just asked me a minute ago. You're right. The Gemara maintains the Yotze v'Hoisa. That's what the Rashi said before. In the Rashi of L'chol Yalav Vasei, Rashi said, he says, "Divashulcha lezu v'lo la'cheres mashma." So the Gemara really maintains that from a pure reading of the psukim, the halachic reading of the psukim, you in fact would say that it's two separate things, but that becomes a more complex formulation on a theoretical level.
Yeah, doesn't the simpler formulation go against the facts? Because if it's such a clear deduction from the pasuk, then you can show me a simpler formulation. But the fact of the matter is that there's a deduction from a pasuk, so that demands a more complex.
But you don't have to learn the pasuk that way,
right?
So how is
You could say, look, I hear you, right? That could have been a deduction, but in fact, there's a simple svara, and that's it. Don't make the deduction.
I'm just, what is the Gemara doing? Trying to understand the principle of Occam's razor? Like, what's the Gemara's?
No, the Gemara's not trying to understand Occam's razor, but it's bringing it in because it has to deal with its main problem, namely proving to me that Misa, you know Misa, makes is Konas Atzma from the Torah. That's where the Gemara is coming in. And yes, and it deals with the logical principle. I wouldn't call it Occam's razor. Occam was a guy, known we need to respect in the 12th century. It's a logical principle. So I mean, forget about the name. That's what Gemara is saying. Haya say, maya vidisay, meaning it's extra baggage. You don't need it. It's an unnecessary entity. You're complicating something unnecessarily. So the Gemara's answer is that you can't approach it that way. It would seem, I'll show you another place in the Torah. So therefore, you should really learn, maybe stick to the original formulation. I mean, that it's an interesse.
Keep
that possibility open. Put it this way. From this area, you're not going to prove whether or not she's Konis Atzma Yedei Misa. Forget it. That's the Gemara thing.
But if there were no other place in the Torah, you could prove it through this principle?
Yeah.
No, I don't see what you're asking.
I mean, if there wasn't a case of Pesulim Mukdashim, then this logical principle of simplicity would be a legitimate principle to use?
Yes. Yeah, the Gemara would have no reason to think otherwise. Why not?
Because, again, maybe you should look into the underlying, maybe there's a philosophical reason. Go with Pshat HaKasav.
No, but you don't assume that.
You don't assume that, exactly.
You don't assume that. So then you'll say, I don't assume that. And that other case, that's only because it's impossible to use the logical principle. But here I can use the logical principle. I'm still confused. What does the case of Psalm Mutashin have to do with this case? It seems like it's two totally separate ideas.
I can't help you.
It's a similar logical structure, though.
Yes. And there the pasuk is
It's a complex logical structure.
Okay.
Right? As a particular complex logical structure. So we see that the Torah does formulate halachos with this particular complex halachic structure. So you can't rule it out as a possibility over here, given that the Mashmash of the Kra is that way.
I mean, the Kiddush is not that the Torah sometimes has complex structures. And you don't always create the simplest structure.
No, but it's a particular structure.
Exact
same simple and the exact same complex structure as over here. And the complex structure
you
is...
You can't say, this complex structure is not a possibility. Because you have the same exact complex structure in another case.
Are you saying, Rabbi, the only right of comparison to the Hekdesh is the fact that we're noticing a more complex structure, but there's no other intrinsic relationship? You're saying the only right of comparison is because we see a complex structure that imitates this one?
I'm saying you see a similar case where there's an underlying cause that results in various manifestations, right? And you would imagine that when the cause is gone, that everything else should cease also. That's what I'm saying. I wish somebody would answer the phone.
I don't know if this is what you're saying, but Yaakov made a hara that would suggest that you do have a right to compare. The reason why the Gemara compares the case over here by Kedushin with Hekdesh, because on a logical basis, because of the fact that, like we say, the woman is Aser Lekuli Alma Kehekdesh, because in both cases, these are two cases in the Torah that are unique in the sense that you have a designation, right? Like the thing is designated to Hekdesh, the Isha has a designation as well, and from that designation, like Isurim emanate from that designation. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So there is a logical basis of comparison to Akdish.
That's just
excellent. Yeah, give me a second. Do it tonight, but if you take a look at the Ritzvah, you'll see the Ritzvah and the Ramban, they're learning the Gemara to be of a more essential comparison. If you take a look,
their point hinges on it on the Chezkas Isser that already exists.
Yeah, actually, in a sense, it's really not. I'm sorry, it's a less essential.
Right. It's just teaching you there's a Chezkas Isser.
I'll do that one next week. But anyhow, let's. All right. Anyway, that's what I wanted to suggest. I mean, I think about it, you know. I just think Occam's razor is an interesting thing.
terms of when it could be applied.
Yeah. Like, what are we saying? Are we saying, for instance, I'm just curious, from a logical standpoint, now, it's for whatever reasons, I mean, let's assume you found out, whatever the reasons are, Sulei HaMukdashin, right? Why Giza Vavoda survives, right?
Right.
So, is it if you knew that, then in some larger framework, that is the simplest formulation?
Why do you have to say that? Why don't you just say that once you have... Never mind.
Well, do you mean, does it necessarily have to be the simplest, or given a broader frame of reference, it's superior?
They're not unnecessary entities.
No, it's the simplest based on the needs of the creator of the halacha.
Right, let me ask you another way. Let me ask you this way. Is this principle based on the idea because there's a God and God does nothing unnecessary? You know what I mean? Is it that kind of idea?
Right.
Or is it something else? That's what I'm curious about. Like, what is the nature of this principle?
Right.
Is it like some underlying reality? You hear what I'm asking?
Well, if it weren't, then you would definitely say to follow the natural progression of the mind, which certainly wouldn't think that you would accept complex ideas when simple ones explain the phenomena.
Okay.
Could you say that it means that you have no right, if you have a simpler formulation, you have no right to accept a more complex one? Because if you're going to start accepting more complex ones, well, you could, in theory, come up with an infinite number of complex formulations for things. In other words, how do you have a right to move into complexity if you have a simpler, if you have a simple explanation? And once you move into complexity, you're going to run into a problem, and that is there's an infinite number of complex formulations you could give. So how are you going to decide?
Doesn't it sound like there's actually a reason that
Yeah, I mean, you have a right. You have a right because you're trying to search for the truth. So maybe the truth isn't the most simple one. Maybe it's a complex one.
You're right, and it might not be. But when you're trying to deduce what the truth
is... The point is, you'll never know.
You can't go into complexity because then there's an infinite number of things.
Right.
You never can really have any knowledge.
But doesn't it sound like given a particular complex answer and a particular simpler answer, there's a certain superiority to the simpler answer?
And why is that?
That's a good question, but I'm just saying it doesn't sound like as a matter of practicality that you could have an infinite number of answers, but this distills it down to one. It does seem that there's a superiority to simplicity. Right?
The less entities you have, the more unified of a reality you have. Would say something about the Chachmas Sabore.
Yeah, in terms of God framework, I think it's better to have a simpler, because that, why do you need more complexity? That would seemingly be an imperfection. I'll tell you, it's an imperfection.
Why do you need no books at all?
I'll tell you why it's an imperfection, because if you can do something in a few simple steps, you can accomplish the same thing in many, many steps, why would you need to do many, many? That would seemingly be an imperfection.
Right.
But I think, in terms of us, if you're trying to infer a logical system, you have no right to go into complexity. You're going into an infinite world.
All right, so think about it.
It's all right to go into
heaven. Yeah.
That sounds like something that in the good old days of yeshiva we'd argue about for a few days. You guys need a porch.
I think we need to invite Heshi to the next year.
Yeah, all right, so anyhow, so let's do two things. One, I'm not so interested, I'll tell you the truth, just take a look at, again, look at the Ritva and that Ritva again, just to see it's a different approach. I don't really have it worked out what he's saying in Svara, but you'll see it's definitely not what we said tonight. That I can tell you. You'll see, you'll take a look. His whole shot, first of all, he gets rid of the whole Isser Asay. You got to take a look at the previous Ritva too, by the way. I forgot to ask me that before. Somebody asked me which Ritva, but I just steered you to one. But look at the first one. V'dilma l'koin gadol b'lav l'chuli alav asay. He calls Rashi and Tosfos divrei havoy.
Yeah, that's what we looked at.
Yeah. But you got to do the second one too. They're related. It's one flow. So he totally knocks out the whole formulation. He never accepts it to begin with. That there's ever a possibility of splitting them off. He can't even accept such an idea like that. So he doesn't take that too seriously. And that, of course, affects the whole Gemara. All right, that's point one. The second thing is, the last movement now of the Gemara, now the Gemara has no Raya. So now the Gemara goes into one more Raya that it knocks off, and then it gives its final answer. And the big question is, when you look at the final answer, is how come the Gemara didn't know this right away? It's mamish in the parsha of Get. I mean, it's staring it right in the face. I mean, that's it. How come the Gemara didn't know it? The Gemara should have said, Bishlama Get, da 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 da, Ela Misa. What do you mean? Misa. There it is. It's right in the pasuk. It's an open pasuk. So you got to answer that question.
Is that type of question? Can you ask that type of question in any Gemara where you have like a long flow and then at the end it just provides a simple answer?
I would think so.
But okay. I didn't get what you're saying about the end. I mean, the end is a hekesh.
That's right.
So you can't just know a hekesh by reading the pasuk. You have to darshan the pasuk. No.
I mean, that's not like even a hekesh like Gomer Kicha Kicha Mestaya from. That's like a hekesh. That's a different kind of a hekesh. The Gemara says it pretty openly. He says this the Chosav La Sefer Krisas. Oh, Ki Yomas Ish Achron. I mean, I don't know what your idea of a hekesh is there, but it sounds to me like you just need a little kid to read the pasuk. He'll tell you the answer.
But don't you need Masorah?
All right, listen, this is next week's shiur. All right.
Right, well.
Yes.
You said that it knocks off the next answer? Pan Yamos Tom Mochama?
Well, they have it right, they have a response, but yeah.
Yeah, they have the answer, don't they? I mean, they don't just get rid of that answer.
What do you mean?
Yavam lo ikuyache.
No, they do, they have two possibilities, yeah.
So they keep it. Pan Yamos Tom Mochama Ish Acha Yukachana? And then you answer the Yavam.
Oh, you mean according to Rav Ashi. You're right. Okay. I meant according to Rav Ashi. You're right. Correct. According to Rav Ashi, the last two answers are both correct. Yes, correct. Yes.
Did you get
I guess
two?
The question is there a difference in those two answers according to that? According to Rav Sheshi, you can only have the last answer. But I think that's the main question. To me, that's the main question. Why did Gemara just simply say, and just answer that and knock off this whole Gemara?
Well, at least Rashi picks up the most obvious question.
Right. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. That's true. I will do that Rashi next week. That's good. You're right. Very good. Yeah, that's a good, right. The Mashmos, the Kra. Right. Yeah, that's a good one. That's good. Yeah, that's a good little Rashi there. You are right.
It's like a toast for us.
Not Rashi style.
Yeah. Well, if somebody also, I mean, I didn't do it, as you noticed, but if somebody has a chance to work out that Xeris Akasov about that the, you know, Giza Mavoda survives Pidgeon, it would be nice to hear a formulation. Hey, you guys all day, you have all week to think about it. All right, very good.
Rav Vald?
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to think about Yaakov's question from last week that you guys ended off with?
Oh, what was Yaakov's question? I don't have the benefit of a tape.
Oh, I'm sorry. His question was that you see from the step of Kohen Gadol that there's no Shem Eishes Ish. Right? So if that's the case, why couldn't the Gemara use the deduction from Kohen Gadol that there's no Shem Eishes Ish?
Oh, I forgot all about that question.
And combine it with the Svara of Hai Asar Shari. Sharsa.
Okay, is there a way I could listen to that part of the tape?
No, but then.
Yeah. We could send it to you over the internet. Do you have an email address?
Yes.
I think okay. The question's gone.
What's
now.
Your email address?
It's on the board.
Oh, it's on the yeshiva list.
Yeah, baldh@yrambam.org.
But I think the question falls off now.
It could be. I want to hear it again. Let's hear it. That was a good question. I forgot about that. Sorry, Yaakov. Sounds like Yaakov forgot it.
What?
Sounds
yeah,
like
I'm still bothered by your whole shot with the Akos.
Yeah, I hear it. I already hear that.
So, yeah.
I'm really surprised. I can tell by the way you're asking during the shiur. That's okay. Good. You know? A guy who's bothered is always the, potentially the guy in the future who's going to like it the best.
Just continue to really dislike it.
Yeah. listen, I won't stop anyone next week coming in and saying another pshat. Feel free, I mean it.
We had another pshat that we were learning, but
just all the way. Oh, okay, so you know what? Let's see. Let me hear it next week, okay?
Okay.
So let's do that. Then I'll be happy to really. All right. And I could be a I can give that the old joke. From when you're a little kid in school. All right, I'll talk to you guys next year. The old joke. And I remember that joke. He was a Catholic monk. It's better called, I like to call it it's the principle of parsimony. That's what they call it in philosophy.
What does parsimony mean?
Parsimony means simplicity.
Parsimony? Parsimony is always to like to minimize, to you know, be like a parsimonious individual. Someone is like very cheap, very tight. It's not free. Doesn't you know? Let things expand. Yeah. All right. So you guys will send me the share, okay?
Okay.
All right, guys. Very good. All right, so have a good night. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Oh, it's on the network.
Yeah, that's not.
That's only in yeshiva.
Oh, no.